Tay.
All the watchmen.
To.
Indeed.
Turnam.
Very quickly.
Upavraja.
Going before the king.
Devakyaha.
Of Devaki.
Garvajanma.
The deliverance from the womb.
Tat.
That child. Achakyuhu.
Submitted.
Bhojurajaya.
Unto the king of the
Bhojas
Kamsa.
Yat.
Of whom?
Udvignaha. With great anxiety. Pratikshate. Was waiting for the child's birth. So, translation. Thereafter, all the watchmen very quickly approached King Kamsa, the ruler of the Bhoja dynasty, and submitted the news of the birth of Devaki's child. Kamsa, who had awaited this news very anxiously, immediately took action. So you can repeat. Thereafter, all the watchmen very quickly approached King Kamsa, the ruler of the Bhoja
dynasty,
and submitted the news of the birth
of Devaki's
child. Kamsa, who had waited this news very anxiously, immediately took action. So, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Kamsa was very anxiously waiting because of the prophecy that the eighth child of Devaki would kill him. This time, naturally, he was awake and waiting, and when the watchman approached him, he immediately took action to kill the child. So it's a very short purport, so we'll read the next text with its purport, text 3.
Satalpaturnamuttaya kaluyam iti vivvalaha
sutigreham agaturnam praskholan muktavurdajaha. Kamsa immediately got up from bed thinking, here is Kala, the supreme time factor, which has taken birth to kill me. Thus overwhelmed, Kamsa, his hair scattered on his head, at once approached the place where the child had been born. So purport, the word Kala is significant. Although the child was born to kill Kamsa, Kamsa thought that this was the proper time to kill the child so that he himself would be saved. Kala is another name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he appears only for the purpose of killing. When Arjuna inquired from Krishna, in his universal form, who are you? The Lord presented himself as Kala, death personified to kill. By nature's law, when there is an unwanted increase in population, Kala appears, and by some arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, people are killed wholesale in different ways. By war, pestilence, famine, and so on. At that time, even atheistic political leaders go to a church, mosque, or temple for protection by God or gods and submissively say, God willing. Before that, they pay no attention to God, not caring to know God or his will, but when Kala appears, they say, God willing. Death is but another feature of the Supreme Kala, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the time of death, the atheist must submit to the Supreme Kala, and then the Supreme Personality of Godhead takes away all his possessions, mrityu sarva parash chaha, and forces him to accept another body, tatha dehantara praptihi. Thus, this the atheists do not know. And if they do know, they neglect it so they may go on with their normal life. The Krishna consciousness movement is trying to teach them that although for a few years one may act as a great protector or a great watchman, with the appearance of Kala death, one must take another body by the laws of nature. Not knowing this, they unnecessarily waste their time in their occupation as watchdogs and do not try to get the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As it's clearly said, apraprayamam nivartante mrityu sansara vartmane. Without Krishna consciousness, one is condemned to continue wandering in birth and death, not knowing what will happen in one's next birth. So, te tu turnam upavraja devatya garva janmatat achap. Yor Bhoja Rajaya Yad Ut Vigna Patiksha Te. So, Omagana Tivadandasha Gananjana Shlakya Chakshuran Meditam Yena Tesmai Shigarve Namaha. So, there's many points in Srila Prabhupada's purport here. There's an interesting statement here. When there's an unwanted increase in population. So Prabhupada was not talking about what they generally talk about nowadays is overpopulation, but unwanted increase in population. Unwanted increase in population refers to when the earth is overburdened with demoniac persons, because as Srila Prabhupada has stated many times, and as you can analyze, you know, even scientifically, the earth can support many, many more times the population that it has today if the resources are allocated properly and people have, that means people have a proper diet, people don't try to acquire more than is necessary, people help each other. So, in any case, unwanted increase means that there are too many demons on the earth. And of course, demons means people who basically don't believe in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're not talking about any particular religious persuasion or sectarian religion at this particular point. And Prabhupada actually mentions this or hints at this in the quoting from the Bhagavad Gita here. He says, apraprayamam nivartante mrityu sansara vartmane. So those who don't have faith in God, they return to birth and death in this material world. So, unfortunately, nowadays, the scientists and others are trying to make some plans to circumvent death. I mean, there's many different types of plans, and some of them I could mention. One is that they're looking at the cell and trying to determine why people get old or why people die. So there's a particular word called apoptosis. Anyone heard of that name word before? Of course. Now you can actually impress people by use of different words that I'm teaching you in class. So apoptosis means it's like a cellular death. So just like you see the cells, they have this process called mitosis. You know, there's another ptosis word. So mitosis means when the cell divides and the genes, they also divide, and you get two cells. And that's how things go on. You know, like different cells in your body have a particular lifespan, and then they divide, and they have baby. I wouldn't say they have baby cells. They just, there's two cells and four cells and eight cells. So why does it go on forever, you know? You know, because you do need to replace cells because the skin, for example, is shedding cells. You're shedding skin all the time. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Give me some skin. Yeah, anyway, so the reason it doesn't go on all the time, so this particular aspect of the genes, called telomeres, you know, at the end of the genes, there's actually a protective segment that diminishes each time the cells subdivide or divide each other. And there, scientists are trying to figure out a way so that these telomeres at the end of the genes don't, let's say, lessen or disintegrate, or they're never lost, and then the cell can go on dividing unlimitedly, and you'll never get wrinkles, and you'll always be young. And that would be nice. And he knows not. But they're, obviously, this is a hope against hope. They're not going to be able to do this. It's just like in the old days, in the Vedic old days, you had different demons utilizing or attempting to utilize different Vedic methods to live longer or have an eternal life. And of course, there's examples of Hiranyakashipu, who's one of the Vedic demons, and one of his methods was, of course, worshipping Lord Brahma, which is a Vedic way to do things. And he asked Lord Brahma, as we know, for eternity or eternal life, and Lord Brahma couldn't give it to him. And then he thought he would trick death by asking Lord Brahma for different circumstances in which he would not die. And I think everyone's familiar with it, you know, daytime, nighttime, inside, outside, man or beast, or weapons, or all those other things. So he couldn't circumvent or prevent death. And then you have other demons like Ravana, who asked for immortality from powerful living entities like demigods and yakshas and rakshasas and whatever. But he neglected to mention human beings because he thought human beings would never kill him. And then you have so many Vedic stories about demons trying to circumvent or to get away from death. And then you have the story of Sunda and Upasunda, who were two demons, very powerful demons, and they also approached Lord Brahma, and they wanted some means by which they would not die. And eventually they said, Lord Brahma said, you can pick the method by which you would die. In other words, it'd be interesting if we would have that, or I could have that benediction, you know, you pick how you would die. And then I would just go through all the fine print, you know, not on earth, not at Govardhan, not in Nugaloka, not in Hillsboro, not in, where else, India, not in Australia, not in New Zealand, not in America. You know, I go through all, I would spend a lot of time going through all the details. And then finally, I would forget to mention in an airplane. So the same way, Sunda and Upasunda, they were given the chance to actually not do it in a negative way, but to actually choose how they would die. And because they were two brothers who loved each other very much, they picked the way they would, the only way they would die would be if they killed each other. This is a story from the Mahabharata. And Lord Brahma granted them that benediction. And then Lord Brahma, in order to arrange for their death, had to arrange for a way that they would fight with each other and kill each other. And the way that Lord Brahma did that was that he created this extremely beautiful girl. Actually, it wasn't he who created the beautiful girl. It was Vishvakarma, the architect of the beautiful girls. Anyway, the architect of the demigods. And Vishvakarma took all the different, I guess the genes, you know, nowadays they talk about GMO food, so he had a GMO person. So he took all the different genes for different parts of the body. You know, perfect nose, perfect ear, perfect toes, I don't know what else. You know, whatever part of the body, the lady's body. So anyway, so he just like manipulated the genes. You know, this genetic engineering has been going on since time immemorial. It's not something new. You know, they talk about, you know, they're very proud that they have this machine called the CRISPR. You've heard of this before? CRISPR, in which they can manipulate the genes. And, you know, if you have some disease or genetic impediment, they can make sure that your child is not going to have that disease or genetic impediment. Anyway, so Vishvakarma did that, and they came out with this Tilottama lady, who was basically, you know, extremely, and so extremely attractive that even the demigods, they couldn't control themselves when she was circumambulating them before she went on her mission. Some of the demigods grew other heads just to see her, or eyes in the back of their head just to see her. You know, they just said, can't keep your eyes off of you. You know, like that song goes. So, and she went on her mission. She was sent on her mission, and she appeared before Sundar Nukasunda. And what happened is that she caused them to fight each other over her. They were drunk also. You know, it doesn't help to be drunk. And they fought each other and killed each other. So there was, these plans were being made for them to live eternally. So the question is, how can we live eternally? Actually, there's some Vedic stories about how some people circumvented death, which is really interesting, some of these stories. Of course, there's this one story of Savitri and Satyavan, which is a famous story in the Vedic literatures. That Savitri, she's mentioned actually as one of the most chaste ladies of all time. And by her devotion, it's really interesting. Because it says a chaste lady can stop the rising of the sun and the moon, or a chaste lady can actually stop Yamaraj. And that's exactly what happened in her particular case. Savitri, see if I can tell the whole story. Anyway, so Savitri wanted a husband, and she was so attractive that people were scared of marrying her. She couldn't find a husband.
I think she was also very beautiful.
What? She was very beautiful. Anyway, what?
I think she was very learned.
Yeah, it's very learned. So that was like a dangerous combination to have a wife who was extremely intelligent, more intelligent than you, and very beautiful. You know. So people didn't want to marry her. But so eventually her father said, you should find your own husband. So she went around and she found this nice man, Satyavan, who was, actually he was living in the woods because he was the son of a king, I think it was Jumat Sena, and the son of a king who had been blind and kicked out of his kingdom. And he was taking care of his parents in the forest. So anyway, so what happened is that also Savitri's parents, they wanted a son. They couldn't have a son. They only had a daughter. So what happened is that she said to her father, I want to marry this Satyavan. And her father said, what's he like? And she described, and the father looked very nice, and Narada Muni was there at the same time. And Narada Muni said, yes, he's a really nice chap, but there's one problem. He's supposed to die, you know, the time factor. He's supposed to die 1 year from today. But she wouldn't listen to reason. She was so devoted to him that she said, I'm still marrying him. And I'm going to, you know, she was thinking internally, I'm going to stop him from dying. You know, this is her determination. It shows by determination and devotion. I mean, that's one thing we can learn from the story. It was by determination and devotion, not just determination. Because many people have determination. I mean, there's a famous atheist who recently died. He had a lot of determination because he was basically completely paralyzed and he had to speak through an artificial, you know, computer. He didn't even have his own voice. And he was still determined to defy God. I mean, that shows how stupid people are. You know, the time factors obviously affected you, paralyzed your body, you can't even speak, and still, you know, if I was in that situation, I'd say, God, help me, you know, somehow or other. But, you know, he was thinking, the hell with God, you know. So basically, all right, so she married this guy, Satyavan, and after she married him, she was living happily in the woods with him, and she was counting off the days, 3 or 4 days before he was supposed to die, she started fasting. You know, fasting and engaged in austerities. And the day he was supposed to die, because she knew exactly the day, She asked him if she could go to the forest with him, because he would go out and chop wood for his parents, who couldn't take care of themselves. So he said, yes, but you got to ask permission from my parents, and they gave permission. And they both went out to the woods together, and lo and behold, after some time, he collapsed on her lap, and Yamaraj came. Yamaraj personally came, not the Yamadutas. Yamaraj personally came because, you know, he was pious and he had such a nice wife. So Yamaraj personally came, and with his little rope of Varuna, he pulled the soul out of the body. The soul is described in this story as very, very small. Of course we know it's 1/10,000, the tip of the hair. But he's very effulgent too. So he was pulling the soul out. And because of her dedication, devotion, and this is something we can all learn, but not that we should do exactly as Savitri did. That's not what I'm advocating. So because of her devotion, she was able to see Yamaraj, see the soul, and was able to follow Yamaraj. And as she was following Yamaraj, first of all, Yamaraj said, "Here, go back, lady." And she said, after they've taken three steps, she said, "Well, if someone's taken three steps with you, they're your friend, you know. I guess they're bonded or something like that." So she took three steps with him, and they had a discussion, and, you know, he was asking like philosophical questions, and she was answering philosophically. And what happened is that he was very pleased, and he wanted to give her a benediction, but you can't have your husband back in this. First benediction, of course, was that her father-in-law would get his sight back, and then her father would ultimately, another benediction was her father would get a son, and you know this went on, and then finally he said, "Now you got to go back." He said, and he offered her one more benediction, and Yamaraj was so frustrated with having to deal with this determined, devoted lady, that he said, "All right, ask for something." But he didn't really pay attention to what she was asking for. His mind was simply on getting rid of her. And she asked for having 100 sons by her husband. And Yamaraj says, "All right, you can have a benediction. Just go back. You can't have your husband." She said, "Well, you gave me a benediction for 100 sons. And so, what about a husband? What about my husband?" 100 sons by Satyavan, not by another husband, obviously. And he said, "You defeated me." So she was able to defeat death with devotion. So that story indicates, that actually happened, that story indicates by devotion we can defeat death. And of course, devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's very similar to the story of the Markandeya Rishi, the Markandeya Purana, of this lady who was so devoted to her husband had leprosy, husband got cursed by Markandeya Rishi because he touched Markandeya Rishi, and he got cursed to die before the rising of the sun the next day. And the wife said, "I'm going to make sure the sun doesn't rise." And the sun didn't rise. And finally, all the demigods had to apologize to her and retracting the curse or nullifying the curse. And the guy lived, and he was actually cured from leprosy at the same time. So that's by devotion. So let's talk about how we can do this. Then we must refer to the Srimad Bhagavatam, in which we have the sages headed up by Suta Goswami. And Suta Goswami there at Naimisharanya reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Shonakoda Rishi is the head of all the sages that are listening. And it describes that as long as the Bhagavatam is being recited, then death can't come. Why is that? Because when the Bhagavatam is being recited, of course that doesn't mean that no one will die during Bhagavatam class, but death can't come because Yamaraj is there in this particular instance, you know, when Suta Goswami is reciting the Bhagavatam. Because Yamaraj was there listening to the Bhagavatam. And when Yamaraj is listening to the Bhagavatam, he doesn't have time to kill anybody. So the moral of the story is that Yes, someone may die during Bhagavatam class. I mean, because the Krishna conscious movement is so big. There's a Bhagavatam class going on somewhere in the world at every moment. You can pretty much be assured of that. So, but you will not die during Bhagavatam class. You will continue to serve Krishna. Because death is there for non-devotees. I mean, of course, even for devotees, there must be leaving the body. But for non-devotees, actual death is there, you know. But for a devotee, like Prabhupada describes, for a devotee, this, what we call death, is like a cat with its kitten. And for a non-devotee, death is like a cat with a rat. And if you've ever had a cat and seen a cat catch a rat, and I used to have a cat, and I saw a cat catch rats, and I saw a cat catch birds, they not only killed the bird or the rat, they tortured it beforehand. Anyone ever see that? They play with it. I mean, because it's play for them, but not for the rat. The rat isn't thinking, you know, listen, we're having a good time here. The rat's not thinking, hey, this is fun, you know, I got a big playmate here. But the rat is thinking, it's scared to death, and that's really what death is. And if you study, just like we had this one nice lady here, Sangeeta, who taught us about hospice, you know, how to take care of people dying. And she went through the different stages that one goes through at the time of death or when death is approaching. And, you know, there's denial, there's fight, there's depression, and then, you know, finally one dies after that time. But for a devotee, you don't go through those stages. I mean, for an advanced devotee, someone who's a dedicated Christian, there's no going through those stages. It's just like a devotee welcomes the leaving of the body. It's not like death for a devotee. A devotee welcomes this because Narayana Puratsarve Nakutashina Vivyati Swarga Pavarga Narakeshu Apituliyarta Darshana. Because wherever a devotee goes, he sees it exactly as the same. This is a story, this is from the sixth canto of Bhagavatam. Narayana Puratsarve Nakutashina Vivyati, he's not worried. Swarga, he can go to heaven. Apavarga, get liberated, or even Nara, Keshu, even go to hell. Apitodhyartha Darshana, he actually sees Darshana. They all have equal value because he's serving Krishna. So there's no anxiety. In that sense, actually, there's no death for a devotee. And for a non-devotee, it's very bad. So, anyway, so Kamsa here is a non-devotee, obviously. And he's trying to prevent death, and it's been predicted. And he's thinking he's going to be successful by killing God. You know, he understands that, you know, that Krishna's appeared to kill him, and Krishna is God. And then it's unbelievable. And just like Aranyakashipu and Aranyaksha, they were trying to kill Vishnu. Huh? I mean, it just doesn't make sense. I mean, you should make friends with him. Because his representation, according to the Gita, you know, in the 10th chapter, of course, we have Mritru Sarva Harascha. I think it's 1034, if I remember exactly. 1034, Mritru Sarva Harascha, I'm all devouring death. And then in the 11th chapter, you have Kalo Asmi, which Prabhupada refers to here, when Arjuna inquires from Krishna, who are you? And Krishna says, Kalo Asmi, I am Kala. And I've come to engage all people. And Arjuna has just seen the universal form, which is a representation of Krishna, swallowing all the soldiers, you know, in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So, Anyway, so we should not fight God. We should just give in, surrender to the Supreme Personality of God. And not only surrender to him, but we should desire to serve him, to please him. I was just hearing this morning, Prabhupada was giving a lecture. Obviously it's recorded. It wasn't my vision or dream or something like that. I was listening to a lecture Prabhupada was giving this morning, and he was talking about Yashodamayi. He said, why did Yashodamayi want to be the mother of Krishna? Because she wanted to serve Krishna. One wants a particular relationship, not because it turns them on, to use a hippie expression, but because it enables them to serve Krishna. In other words, the mother serves the child. You know, a pure devotee in the Vrindavan, the Braj Moon, doesn't desire to have God as his father. Because God is your father means God serves you. And God is your son means you serve him. Just like you see, this morning we had a little baby in the temple room. And the mother was simply serving. She was simply serving the baby all morning. I mean, I don't even have disciples so dedicated as mothers are to their children, isn't it? It's like, you know, Sadhvi has a child, so pardon him. And even though the child's grown, you know, 75 years old or whatever, she's up there completely, that, you know, look at this motherly love. It's completely dedicated. You know, she's I wouldn't say old age, but at her senior age, she's just serving her child. And my mother too, you know, it's the same thing. So that one desires a particular relationship because of a desire to serve. That's all. And it was very interesting, this class that Srila Prabhupada was doing. So when you have this desire to serve, and that's complete, you're completely absorbed in that, then there's no question of worrying about death. It doesn't matter. Because that service goes on eternally. Swapamapyasya dharmasya trayateya mahatopaya. There's no fear. Because that service goes on and on and on. Service to the Guru and service to the Supreme Personality of God. Of course, service to your son or daughter does not go on forever. Sorry to disappoint you. Anyway, somebody says, thank God. So, anyway, so these are some of the points here. So, any quick questions or comments? Yeah?
It's a comment. I've been watching on YouTube people that are near their experience.
Yeah.
And there was this man, Hindu, he was born as a Hindu or whatever.
Yeah.
And he had done some ritual in his childhood. And for 5 years, he was bedridden.
Yeah.
And he was so angry that all he could, he was always talking about God doesn't exist, God doesn't exist, God doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And then he even went to India to get a Gita, a Quran, and a Guru Granth book.
Yeah.
And studying it with the idea to prove that there is no God.
Yeah, what happened?
And then he had this near-death experience, you know?
Yeah.
And he came back. And he says, now I'm very respectful of whoever believes in God, and I'm in the middle of becoming a very spiritual person. He was in that stubbornness.
Yeah, you know, death. Death or difficult circumstances, as Prabhupada mentions here. He says, where they pay no attention to God, not caring to know God or his will. But when Kala appears, they say, God willing. In other words, they start praying. Okay, on that happy note, all glories to his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Oh, nice to see Krishna Priya Padarajanis.
catching this. There you go.